Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to, and we're sorry, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
All right, Curtis, we need Jimmy G answers. I'm trying to get a San Francisco guy on for weeks. Nobody wants to get up this early because it's 8 a.m. out there.
Right.
So we got a guy from the morning show on our sibling station, 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. Bonta Hill, who is the co-host of The Morning Roast, also 49ers pre- and post-game host. Bonta, how are you? Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Oh, man, good morning, man. And when you have a three-month-old baby, it's not hard to get up at 8 a.m. on the weekend. So no problem. Anytime you guys want me on a Saturday morning, odds are I'm going to be wide awake.
Good to know. Bonta joins us on the Harbor One hotline. All right, well, so what's up with Jimmy G? How confident are you he sticks in San Francisco?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, it feels like we've been discussing this on our show forever, man, starting with the pre- and post-game show. You know, it's really weird because you see the Niners go to the Super Bowl 54, and, you know, he plays in his first two playoff games against Minnesota and Green Bay, and people are nitpicking at the fact that they ran the ball more. And a lot of people took that as an indictment that Jimmy Garoppolo had lost the trust of Kyle Shanahan. My thing is, you're the NFC Championship. Aaron Rodgers is on the other sideline. Why would you throw the ball more than eight times if they're going to give you 7.5 yards to pop on the ground? Makes sense to me. You eat the clock and you keep Rodgers off the field. So, you know, for the second straight offseason last year, they said, Jimmy's our guy. But we know they flirted with Tom Brady. Not sure what happened there with Tom Brady. Did Tom Brady want to come? Did Shanahan not want him? Did John Lynch not want him? That's the confusing thing. This year, you hear all the rumors. Hey, they're flirting with Teddy Bridgewater, possibly making a trade. We know about Shanahan's love affair with Kirk Cousins. He can't get Kirk Cousins' name out of his mouth. And that's wild. So to answer your question, I think Jimmy Garoppolo will be back for next season. I believe he'll be the starting quarterback come week one of the 2021 season. But there is no doubt that the 49ers are fishing for something else. They're fishing for another quarterback. So, look, there's not many options, right? You're telling me Ryan Fitzpatrick is a better option than Jimmy Garoppolo? I'll pass. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Sam Darnold, who's seeing ghosts out there in New York, I'll pass. I think he's damaged goods. And plus, I don't like to put the stigma on programs, but I don't believe in USC quarterbacks. I watched a lot of Sam Darnold at USC here on the West Coast. That guy, he's making the same decisions with the New York Jets he made at USC. So, look, a long-winded answer. Jimmy Garoppolo, I believe, will be the starter for the 49ers in the 2021 season.
Bonta, what is the reaction of the 49er fans out there with Jimmy G? It seems a little bit odd from our perspective here in Boston, seeing that he's got to a Super Bowl, one overthrow away from possibly winning that Super Bowl. Are the fans behind the team in trying to find a replacement, or are they wondering why Lynch and Shanahan are both searching for a replacement for him?
Jimmy Garoppolo has become the most polarizing topic outside of Draymond Green in this region. You bring up Jimmy Garoppolo, the phone lines light up, the text messages go crazy. And I think it's flipped. I think it's 30% maybe of the fan base wants Jimmy Garoppolo to come back. And there's about 70% that says kick him to the curb.
Wow.
And it's because of the injuries. It's more so, like, I think that's number one, right? He missed 10 games last season after playing his first full season of his career. 2018, a lot of expectations after he got traded from out there in New England to the Boston area. Of course, you guys know all well about it. He comes in and wins five straight games, goes 5-0 as a starter, The next year, he tears his ACL in week three. So he's missed 23 games in the last three seasons. So people cite the injuries. But then they look at the downfield accuracy. Oh, he doesn't throw the deep ball. It's all Kyle Shanahan. So the fan base is totally out on it. It feels like 70%. Wow. And I may be generous about that.
Wow.
It's wild. I felt like I was one of the only members on the Jimmy Garoppolo trade because of what you just said. He helped you get to a Super Bowl. I know the defense is great. I know the running game was great. But you can't dismiss the fact that down the stretch in 2019, he wins at Seattle, which the Niners hadn't done since Alex Smith and Jim Harbaugh's first year as a head coach back in 2011. And he outplays Russell Wilson up there in Seattle. We know about their home field advantage. He wins in the Superdome against Drew Brees. He beats Arizona with a couple 300- or 400-yard games against the Cardinals. And you know division games are tough. So, he played really, really well for a guy who was playing in his first full season. And the numbers all back it up. Not the raw analytics that these nerds get into, but just looking at the performance of a quarterback. You know, tie for first and fourth quarter comeback. So, for some reason, the fans are down on him. They think Joe Montana's walking through that door. They think Steve Young's walking through that door because they all reference what happened 20 years ago with this organization. But Steve Young ain't walking through that door. You know, Joe Montana's not walking through that door. Just be Jeff Garcia. Just be a guy who could be comparable, who won't turn the football over. It could be healthy and get the team in the right play. That's it. That's all. But everybody wants to throw flowers at Kyle Shanahan. And, you know, unfortunately, Jimmy Garoppolo gets all the blame for the Super Bowl loss, which is just absolutely asinine.
What does Jimmy think about all that, Bonta? Does he talk at all? What does he think of the fans being down on him? And what does he think about the 49ers fishing, to use your word?
Well, you know what? It's funny. Last year, he said, hey, I appreciate John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan for being transparent with me. I appreciate them for letting me know about their flirtation with Tom Brady. Now, I get it, right? Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't got to tell you guys. You guys see it every snap up there. I'm sure of it. So, Jimmy Garoppolo, deep down inside, though, he can say all the right things. And he doesn't really talk publicly. He'll say all the right answers. He'll tell the company line. But deep down inside, don't you think that Jimmy Garoppolo is sick of this? Don't you think that he's in his mind saying, you know what? You guys gave me a $137 million contract. I come in here without even knowing the playbook. Your franchise is 1-10, and I go with five straight games with receivers who are not even in the NFL anymore. All right? Think about that. And then I come in, and by myself, we have playoff expectations. Oh, and then the next year I come back from a torn ACL. I'm not totally confident, but I help you go 13-3 and go to the Super Bowl. He can't feel good about this. I mean, would you guys feel good about this?
No,
I wouldn't. I got a rapport with George Kittle. I got a rapport with this offensive line. They look at me as a leader, and we're constantly shopping for my replacement. And I'm only 29 years old. If I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't feel good about all the flirtations with all these other quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, I'm shocked at all of that. That is incredible info because I had no idea that the fans had flipped in that way. But what about Kyle Shanahan? I mean, we had a front row seat here covering the Patriots, watching him blow the biggest lead in Super Bowl history, and none of that sticks to him. That was all the head coach, whatever his name was at the time with the Falcons, and it was the Matt Ryan and the head coach were blamed. Kyle Shanahan left and went to the Niners. And now they get to a Super Bowl and lose, and it feels like they're trying to scapegoat everything offensive at Jimmy G's feet because he can't stay healthy. When what has Kyle Shanahan done in the NFL to actually be, you know, on this level as a coach?
You know, that's a great question. And it feels like I'm the only one out here who said, is Kyle Shanahan really that great? Is Shanahan really that great? Because what you mentioned, and I don't necessarily blame him for that Super Bowl, that 28-3 meltdown. Hey, Dan Quinn's the head coach. He's the defense coordinator. I mean, make a stop. Right. It tells Shanahan to run the ball. You're the head coach. But I hear what you're saying there. Look, I have questions about Shanahan developing quarterbacks. We know in Washington he did want RG3. He was in, you know, Kirk Cousins this, Kirk Cousins that. Kirk Cousins is Mr. Mediocre. Yet his grand plan in 2017 when the 49ers passed up Deshaun Watson, and I'm not necessarily too upset about them passing up Mahomes because Mahomes is a wild card. And I think people, you know, Mahomes is like, wow, really? Like he came from Texas Tech? throwing all those, you know, how they run their offense, it's spread gimmick offense, 50, 60 passing attempts a game. But Deshaun Watson was sitting right there, and they took Solomon Thomas because Shanahan's grand plan was to bring in Kirk Cousins as a free agent. Think about that. Does Shanahan trust Jimmy Garoppolo fully? It apparently seems he doesn't. He doesn't really talk him up the way he talks about Nick Mullins, for crying out loud. And we had a little running theme out here, Nickel Nick, because when Nick Mullins beat the New York Giants, for crying out loud, everybody said, oh, you know what? Nick Mullins, he could take Jimmy Garoppolo's job. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Nick Mullins stinks. It's a reason why he was undrafted. Shanahan, to me, has a lot of blame for that Super Bowl loss. One, Raheem Mostert ran for over 200 yards in the NFC Championship a couple years ago against Green Bay. He doesn't see a carry until the second quarter of the Super Bowl. How does that happen? How does that happen? Also, in that same Super Bowl, Shanahan refuses to call a timeout. You guys see the old double up where you get the ball last at the first half, you get the ball first in the beginning of the third quarter. What if 49ers hold the Chiefs? It's 10-10, and he refuses to call a timeout. You got three timeouts to try to double up on Kansas City and score more points. Instead, he was content with being tied with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in the Super Bowl. And there's that image of John Lynch waving, timeout, timeout, timeout. I'm screaming timeout. So then you come out in third quarter, you get 3 points. And, of course, the overthrow by Jimmy Garoppolo. But guess what? How about this one? Nobody ever talks about this. It's first and 10 at the 49-yard line with a minute 49 left against the Kansas City Chiefs. My thought process is I don't want Mahomes in that offense to touch the ball anymore. They're rolling right now. They're cooking with hot grease. Let's milk this clock, and we're either going to lose this game or win the game with our offense on the field. Instead, Shanahan gets desperate and throws 4 straight passes when the running game is wide open. So, I believe Shanahan's a good play designer, good schemer, but there's so many 4th-and-1 plays he botches. There's so many decisions he botches. He hasn't had a comeback from double digits in the second half of his coaching career. I'm at the point where I'm saying, hey, Shanahan, go get Kirk Cousins, go get Fitzpatrick, go get whoever the hell you want to get. But this is on you now because Jimmy Garoppolo has unfairly been criticized and been a scapegoat for a lot of wrongdoing out here in San Francisco. And Shanahan is skating free with it. Oh, and by the way, he gets an extension after one winning season. I can go on and on about Kyle Shanahan and how premature everybody is with calling him a great head coach.
Bonta Hill, our guest from 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. Before I let you go, Bonta, if you're wrong and they go for somebody else, who is it going to be? Will it be Cousins? There was a report out of Carolina they were kicking the tires on Bridgewater. What about Deshaun Watson? Who would be the guy?
Well, if they're going to go all in, right, I want them to go all in on Deshaun Watson. Go get your Porsche. Go get your Tesla. Go get the Ferrari. I mean, you pass up on him in 2017, make amends, and go make a trade for him. Now, am I trading Nick Bosa for him? Probably not. Am I trading Fred Warner for him? Probably not. George Kittle? Probably not. But I don't think it's going to take a premium player to snag Deshaun Watson. Will it take you numerous picks? Absolutely. But I'm willing to do that if Deshaun Watson is there, because if you have Deshaun Watson, those first-round picks are going to be low first-round picks. Now, I'm not making a lateral move saying, hey, let me go get Kirk Cousins. Let me go get Teddy Bridgewater. How is that an upgrade from Jimmy Garoppolo? To me, there's no upgrade there. For Ryan Fitzpatrick, there's no upgrade. Do I want to trade draft compensation for Sam Darnold? Not really. I'm not high on Sam Darnold. So, I think the best method for this team is a running back with Jimmy Garoppolo, draft a quarterback in a first round draft, whether it's Trey Lance, Justin Fields, whoever you want, and develop a quarterback and have them learn under Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that's the best case scenario if they don't make a trade for Deshaun Watson, which it seems like the Niners are going to stand pat and not make that move and not swing a deal for Deshaun Watson.
Good stuff, Bonta. Thanks for coming on, getting up early with us. Good luck with the kid and have a good weekend, I guess.
Yeah, hey, real quick. Are Patriots fans, are they in on Jimmy Garoppolo? Do they want Jimmy Garoppolo back?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He's plan A. The number one choice of Pats fans is to get in, because there was a lot of reporting done after the deal that Bill had been texting after every game with Jimmy G, and people here believe that that's Belichick's number one choice, and they're behind it to get him in here. I think people are pretty done with Cam Newton.
Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. I have to bring that to my show, man. That's crazy. All right, guys, thanks so much for having me, man. It's time to change some diapers, man. Anytime, though.
All right,
thanks
thank
for
you very much.
That's Bonta Hill from the Morning Roast, 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. So after that, what do you make of it? Is Jimmy G staying or no? I mean, he says yes, but he a lot of caveats there.
I honestly am stunned. I think I follow the NFL. I know things. I have a friend who lives in San Francisco, but the fact that it's 70-30, and he said that might be being kind.
And basically they blame him solely for the loss in the Super Bowl.
I mean, Kyle Shanahan has that, like, media golden boy kind of air to him. Like, I agree with him that it's, you know, it's Dan Quinn who should get most of the blame. He's the head coach. But if you're this brilliant mind, how are you dropping back and chucking it after you complete the pass to Julio Jones on the right sideline?
Yep.
Like, that will never make sense to me. And that's Kyle Shanahan's decision. He lost the game.
Now, Michael Lombardi wrote for The Athletic this week, "Do I believe 49ers GM John Lynch when he claims Garoppolo will be his starter in 2021? Of course not. They are too active, too aggressive to run it back one more year with someone they don't have complete trust in." I mean, that speaks. Lombardi's right.
He is not to be trusted when it comes to this report.
Oh, wow. You think he's doing Bill's
of course
handiwork?
His son's the wide receiver coach on the team. You don't think that he wants Jimmy G instead of Cam Newton?
So why would he? That's not going to influence John Lynch in the way he thinks about it.
I think he's saying he's still out there and he's trying to get. Of course that will. That'll piss off Jimmy G.
Michael Lombardi writes in The Athletic, not going to piss off Jimmy G.
I think
that's real intel. I think he knows Lynch is shopping, which everybody knows now. I mean, to our guest's point, he's been calling, kicking the tires on Bridgewater.
Right. All I'm saying is he's not going to write something that hasn't been sanctioned by Bill.
I mean, in this case, I think he might. I think he might. Sanctioned by Bill is Bill wants Jimmy. We all know that.
Right.
Everybody knows that. Yes.
And so he's saying, don't believe John Lynch.
Yep.
Jimmy G's on the move.
Right. Yeah. So I think he's just speaking the truth, I think. Now, he also mentions potential options as Sam Darnold and Deshaun Watson for the Niners. That would be interesting. Like, if you're a Niners fan and you had to trade Kittle or Bosa to get Watson, would you make that trade?
I would trade Kittle in a second.
Bosa?
No.
I don't think I would trade Bosa.
But the Jimmy G injury thing is real. Like, there are certain players that, for whatever reason, it's not that they're wusses or they can't handle. They just have – they're brittle. He's missed more games.
Is that a medical evaluation?
No.
Dr. Curtis is in?
I think he's
genetically brittle?
Right. I don't think it's a coincidence that he keeps getting hurt. Do you?
Yeah, I think he's just been unfortunate. He's had a couple – what is the ACL? He has a knee and an ankle. So he had two injuries.
Do you have a lot of quarterbacks that miss 23 games to start their career that go on to be healthy for the rest of it?
I'll do some research on that. I don't off the top of my head. I don't. Mike in Boston on the phone lines on Ken and Curtis. Hello, Mike. Mike.
Oh,
we lost Mike. All right, we got to get to trending anyway, and we got an update on the hearing as to what's happening to Tom Wilson. So let's get that in.
Back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Stuff he said on your show was jarring, and I've never heard a quarterback talk that candidly about his situation. And I think Tom Brady's to blame or credit for all of that, because these guys see what happened with Brady. They want to flex their muscles. That was great.
You're asking me to speak over the national anthem. I won't do it.
I thought Eruption was the national anthem.
Oh, that's right. That is EJ, the great Eric Johnson, via Musicom.
All right.
That's also Mike Florio endorsing the Laird man's Brady effect.
Two people that will always be inextricably linked, Ken Laird, Mike Florio, who said, I heard that yesterday afternoon prepping for this show, and I said, we have to get this to Ken. He sides with you. He says, you credit or blame depending on where you sit, but these quarterbacks are following in the footsteps of Brady and demanding that they have a say.
Well, Rip Florio, I mean, you trash me all week. Every time I compare Brady and Watson, you lose your mind.
Well, because it's a horrible comparison, but to say that they haven't seen Brady succeed in Tampa doing it his way out of the organization that drafted him, I think is a fair way that's definitely happening. But to say that they should, A, be listened to the same way, or B, they should be traded because they want to be, are not things that Tom Brady did. He left when his contract expired, whereas these guys Deshaun Watson just signed a deal in September and said that the team was this place that he is devoted to, that he will do whatever he can to honor this contract, the trust and the belief in him that was shown by the McNair family, Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien will always mean the world to him. I mean, it's just, and then 4 months later, you're saying, I need to leave, and everybody's saying, yeah, go to Sean. You deserve it.
Well, like, you and I are lockstep on this. I think it's terrible for the league that this is happening. I mean, I'm all about, like, players, union rights and workers' rights, but this is, like, you lay it out perfectly. I mean, this was literally less than a year ago. But he's been affected by the NBA and by Brady, and so this is life now. And for the Patriots, they're hoping this happens, right? I mean, they are hoping Caserio bends and decides to trade him, because that's a domino that could shake Jimmy G loose.
Yep.
It could shake who else loose? I mean, I guess Carr. But the problem is Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause, and he wants to go to the Jets or the Dolphins.
Yeah.
So I don't think that helps the Patriots.
No, I think that...
Unless they want Darnold. Do you think they want Darnold?
The
Patriots. Are they interested in Sam Darnold?
I can't imagine.
Nor would the Jets trade him here anyway.
No, there's no... That's... No. That's not going to happen. But I think... The thing with the Deshaun Watson storyline is that it benefits everybody not named the Texans to make it seem like he's on the block and he's being traded, because they want as much chaos in Houston so it becomes untenable for the organization to bring him back. So that's why there's always going to be stories related to this, because other teams want him. They're like wishing it into existence.
And you think Caserio has the stones to just not pay him, not play him, fine him up to $25 million or whatever Florio said they would... He'd lose $25 million, right, if he doesn't play between now and next year?
Right. If I were Nick Caserio, my ringtone, everything I'd play anywhere I was outside in public would be Deshaun Watson's press conference from September, just on a loop for everybody to hear.
Like, that's fine, but then they have no answer this year. They'll stink again.
Right.
The fans will get restless and say, the fans are going to be on Watson's side as the year goes on, correct?
I mean,
as the team stinks and they see their team, they're going to be like, "What? Just patch things up, get him back, or trade him."
I'm going to play your game.
Yep.
Caserio's like, this sucks. I have to trade him. I have no choice. I've tried everything. It is past the point of no return. So I'm going to trade Deshaun Watson to the 49ers for 2 first-round picks, 3 second-round picks, and
George Kittle.
And George Kittle. So the Texans now have what is their draft pick this year? They don't have a first-round pick this year.
But they would get one back from the Niners in that scenario.
So they have the Niners' first-round pick, and let's say, best-case scenario, they get Trey Lance somehow, and he's their next guy.
Well, that'd be amazing, actually.
Next year, the 49ers are going to the Super Bowl. They win the Super Bowl. How many years do you think it will take for Nick Caserio, his only gig outside of Foxborough, to get to the playoffs with the Texans as they're built?
If he's got 2 firsts, George Kittle, and 3 seconds, I think he'd get more than that, by the way. I think he'd probably get 3 firsts.
My point is that...
And they currently have no firsts for, like, what, 3 years or something like that?
Right.
I mean, compared to that scenario, it's worth a shot at this point.
So, but
you either have a guy disgruntled who's not playing, who the fans start to take his side, and you have no picks and you have no nothing. At least you're trading him when the value couldn't be higher. You're getting a haul back. And, you're getting rid of a squeaky wheel. I mean, Belichick would trade him. If this were Belichick and Watson was his quarterback,
no way,
he would trade him.
Do you know how valuable that contract is in the NFL, in all of sports, to have a 25-year-old quarterback on a relatively team-friendly deal for the next 5 years?
Yeah, but he's not going to play. I mean, if he plays, he's going to be, like, losing on purpose.
If Caserio trades him, he will be out of a job in 3 years.
Hmm. I don't know. If he keeps him on the roster and doesn't play him and gets nothing in return...
He's not playing. He's saying, you're welcome to play. We're ready for you.
And you think he'll cave?
Deshaun Watson is not going to sit out an entire season.
I think he might. We've seen examples of it. Le'Veon Bell did it.
So why is he kicking and screaming so much if he thinks that it's no problem?
Yeah. I guess you could be right. Maybe at some point he would cave and just say, all right, I can't afford to lose $25 million and I'm going broke. Maybe.
I can't imagine that Nick Caserio waited... How many opportunities did we think he had to leave? Teeny finally gets an opportunity with this organization, and his first act on his own is to trade a quarterback with a contract that is unprecedented in that sport. I can't see him doing it.
The Niners' first-round pick this year is 12th overall, by the way. So he might get a quarterback there.
Right.
If they made that trade, they could.
And then Cynthia Brealundis, I think she has Glenn Foley going at 12.
That's Wiggy's girl. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Brad in Florida on the phone lines. Hi, Brad.
How we doing, gentlemen?
Good.
I would absolutely grab Darnold if you could. And I kind of based that on what it sounds like people are saying that the Jets are looking for something similar to the Josh Rosen trade. If you could be the Patriots, even if you knew you had to pay a premium, I mean, I would trade 15 for Darnold in a heartbeat. He's shown that he can throw the ball.
But would the Jets trade with the Pats? Do you think they trade in the division?
Well, that's why I'm saying, I mean, you got to pay a premium, one would think, right? But, I mean, if the premium is still only 15 and you got a good chance of maybe getting a high pick back, moving Gilmore, moving J.C. Jackson, getting a good defensive player, I mean, to me, it's something you really got to consider. It you know, to be kind of sitting at the kiddie table of quarterbacks and saying, I hope this, I hope that, I hope, you know, Garoppolo falls back. I mean, I would agree with somebody said they wouldn't mind Garoppolo. I don't think it'd be the worst thing, but I think if you could get Darnold, it's a much more significant upgrade.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Brad.
I am not a Darnold guy whatsoever. I don't watch a lot of Pac-10 football, but what I did see, he was not like a jump-off-the-screen kind of guy. Last year, he had a very Cam Newton-esque 9 touchdowns and 11 picks. I mean,
he was 2-10 last year. He like our guest said, Bonta Hill, he might be like shattered, damaged goods. You play 3 years with the Jets, and you're seeing ghosts. And I just
don't see Bill Belichick thinking that he's going to get his quarterback answer by making a deal with the Jets. I just do not see
now, if
that.
It's just the first pick, if it's just for the first-round pick, it might be worth it.
So he's going to trade Jimmy G to the Niners for a second-round pick, but he's going to give up a first to get Sam Darnold? No way.
I mean, based on the other options, if Jimmy G doesn't shake loose, I think you're right. Actually, the more I think about it, you're better off taking the best defensive player on the board.
Right. I mean, that would be...
Keep your pick and just build the rest of the team.
If you're a Patriots fan, you want Bill not to change. You don't want him to panic and do something that is just for the fan base. You want him to still have the power and still the control to be who he was for the last 20 years.
And what do you think about my scintillating lead from Friday's Greg Hill show? That Belichick has genius, set the bar low. He could actually go out and get a better passing quarterback just by default, whoever it is, you know, Gardner Minshew. Pats fans are excited about Minshew. Let's say he trades for Minshew, gives up a whatever, third?
Yeah. Nope, they don't have a third.
Okay, well, they might have compensatory.
You can't trade the third.
The Tom Brady pick. Yeah, you can trade comp picks now, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll get the Brady compensatory pick. They'll trade him for Minshew. And Pats fans will be excited because it'll be
imagine?
Like, this guy can actually throw the forward pass.
Oh, my God.
Great job, Belichick.
Shaughnessy is salivating. I didn't know they could do that. Now that's great. So they can use the compensatory pick.
Yep.
So Shaughnessy's going to write when Minshew goes out and loses 35-7 to the Dolphins. He's going to say, Tom Brady's draft pick was traded and came here, and we replaced him with Minshew. Got his balls kicked in.
Okay, but it wouldn't be just Minshew. It would be Minshew and he draft a guy.
Yeah,
so
I mean, all that, in
bridge,
all honesty, that is irrelevance. You are in the world of irrelevance. They are
really,
nowhere near.
Not if you go out and you get Allen Robinson and you get Shaq Barrett and you get Jonnu Smith or Hunter Henry. I mean, Henry doesn't want to come here, I guess, but whatever. If Field Yates is right that they have a stack of cash and they're ready to spend, that's what he said Friday on Get Up. So the PR machine is at work.
But I don't. How is that a report? So we all agree they have a stack of cash. I mean, if you look at the cap room, it's right there.
Yeah, he said ready to spend.
So, but wouldn't every team in the NFL hypothetically be ready to spend when free agency begins?
So you think they won't, or you think they will, obviously, and it's no big deal?
What we are doing, all the Bobos, the Belichick Bobos, are stating the obvious in a very excited fashion to make it appear that they're doing things they haven't done before.
But
factually, what he said is factual.
Yep.
They have a stack of money, and they are ready to spend, because during free agency, that's when you spend.
Yep.
So he's not. I mean, he's not really reporting anything that isn't obvious.
I guess you could not spend, although there is a cap floor, right? So you got to spend some of it,
right?
The way they're portraying is that they're going to go after top free agents. Right. When in reality, I guess they could re-sign their own guys. I mean,
if you were just to read that in a story, it wouldn't jump off the page. The Patriots have money and are ready to spend.
Ready to spend jumps off the page.
But every team in the NFL is ready to spend.
Okay, what about Curran's uncharacteristically aggressive?
If those two were in one report, that's a story.
Dan in Rhode Island on Kenny Curtis. Hi, Dan.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing, Ken?
Pretty good, man.
Quick, good get with that interview guy in San Francisco. I've listened to him a few times on the radio, and he brings a perspective a lot of people don't get around here. But the thing about Kyle Shanahan is you can't – when a guy is 7-27 without Jimmy, all right?
Oh, I mean, is that his record?
27.
Wow.
Yes. 7-27. If he brings in Kirk Cousins, he might not even still have a job right now. Seriously, that's how overrated I think he is.
Yep.
But Sam Darnold, real quick. I don't know if you guys are old enough. To me, he is Tony Eason 2.0. Did you have Curtis? Are you old enough to remember that?
I remember him briefly. I was born in '84, so he's a little before my time. But I remember watching
California him guy, number 15 overall pick, soft as grapes, saw ghosts everywhere. I just think that every time I've seen Darnold, I think he's the same guy. You go on YouTube or just look up Tony Eason or ask anybody who saw him. I think that's a comparison that is spot on. And if he is broken for sure, but I think even if he was, you know, not Adam Gase ruined, I think he's still Tony Eason.
Although Eason made a Super Bowl, right? So could Darnold take you to a Super Bowl then?
Yeah, well, Steve Grogan basically played most of that year to get them to the Super Bowl.
Gotcha.
He just overrated. Either way, that's all. Take care, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Another Darnold call from Christian in Maine. What's up, Christian?
Good morning, guys.
How are you, Christian?
Great. So, going to tell you that I got a friend down in Houston who's like on the radio all the time. He does a podcast, and they are just so mad left over from the Diop situation that they really don't care if Watson stays or goes. Like, the fans are just sick of him. They're mad about Watt. They're mad about D-Hop, but they really don't care about Watson. It's like,
why? Miami's
picks.
You're saying they're mad at they're on the side of Houston management. They're angry at Watson.
Oh, they're pissed. They're pissed. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about the complaining. They're mad about D-Hop gone. They're mad they got nothing for Watt. They're like, get us Tua. Get us Miami's picks. There's a whole giant of we're sick of crybaby superstars, especially with what Harden did down in Houston. They're just mad at everybody.
Wow. And their baseball team is now disgraced forever. So good run there.
They're pissed. They're pissed at all pro sports down there. They're siding basically with management.
What did you want to say about Darnold, Christian?
I didn't have anything on Darnold. I was just telling you that my good friend down in Houston, they're like anti team down there. They're anti player. They're like, get into it, get some draft picks. They're like, send them to Miami. Let's get those ones back.
Right, there we go. Good intel, Christian.
Ooh, next Saturday. Possible guest, our guy, Sean Salisbury, down in Houston.
Yeah.
Well tapped down there.
Sure.
Maybe he'll be talking about Russian cosmonauts.
Got a ratings pop there. I'm all for that. Steve and Bill Ricca. Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You
know, Kate Curtis, you know, I've been listening to you on the morning show for months, and, you know, it's been Brady powertrain the whole way through, and I got to tell you, 100%, don't stop.
All right.
Don't stop it. Keep it going because I don't understand why people aren't smart enough to realize, like Donkey from Quincy, I mean Danny from Quincy, that Belichick 100% drove Brady out of town. How much proof do you have to get hit over the head with? I mean, what he did was when he was overruled by Kraft, He pulled the baby act and he totally ruined. We have been ripped off blind by Belichick. Yep. Ripped off. The whole Patriots Nation has been ripped off blind. Probably five or six solid seasons of steamrolling the NFL. We could have had Brady. I mean, who can have an elite quarterback like that who goes to the Super Bowl and win it every other year, right? For below market money. And on top of that, in 2018, you would have had, with the Garoppolo picks that we should have had, R2 plus who knows how many from San Francisco or Cleveland at the time, we could add first and second round draft picks coming out the nose while having an elite quarterback for under market money. I mean, it all got tossed out because Belichick was a baby and was overruled. I mean, there is so many things that he did to blackball Brady. I mean, it's in the over 10. And three or four of them were like fireball offenses. I mean, like, it's ridiculous.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it is just amazing to me that it is even a question among anybody anymore as to Brady and Bill and what happened.
Well, it's round one. Again, Bill has a lot of time to redeem himself. I mean, you can say all that and you can look good and smart now, but Belichick's going to be around for 10 more years probably. Brady's got one, I guess.
The best synopsis on the situation,
Cliff Cumming,
was written by Tommy Curran right after Brady won the Super Bowl about, you know, how did we get here? And it was succinctly put that Patriots fans couldn't imagine what it would be like without Tom. They kept saying, we want more, we want more, while Bill kept waiting to push him off a cliff. He was done. Yeah. He thought, let's get this over with. I want to start getting
done,
off the cliff.
He was done with a new Brady. The changed Brady, yes, he was done with, because things had changed.
I mean, are they going to have bumper boats at Gillette next year? It's basically like a fan environment. Like, are they going to have, like, oh, the 15th guy to the game gets to make the third-round pick this year?
No, it'll be a Minshew mustache corner or something like that, which is going to be exciting.
Robert Kraft walking around with a cowboy hat.
All right, Vol on top of the hour. We'll continue the football talk there. Some updates on the Tom Wilson situation next.
You're listening to, and we're sorry, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Carlo has a head hit by Wilson.
Yeah, that was high.
That was distant, and it was high, and it was intentional.
Not exactly sure what happened, but to me it looked like just a hit.
Clearly looked like to me got him right in the head. Defenseless player. Predatory hit from a player that's done that before.
You know, that was a bull hit. Brando had his head down in the corner. That's a cheap shot there.
Nice job, Nick. A little montage of the Tom Wilson hit on Brandon Carlo. This is going to be historic for the NHL, the new report from Frank Saravalli. Curtis.
Oh, my man.
Hockey expert Chris Curtis. He writes, going to be fascinating. NHL player safety's process with Wilson. This is not a hearing for Rule 48 illegal check to the head because it does not meet the criteria. So now precedent is being broken. Tom Wilson could become the first player in NHL history suspended for boarding on a hit that wasn't from behind. Now, first of all, for him to say it's not from behind, okay, it's from the side. Does that make it any better? It's illegal. It's dirty. It's boarding by the letter of the rule. And why Saravalli keeps trying to spin it. I mean, I guess it's historic. But this shouldn't be precedent being broken. There should be suspensions, severe suspensions for boarding penalties, which put guys in hospitals in the NHL.
I don't even understand this guy's like angle. Is he a Caps guy? I mean,
he used to be a Flyers writer. Good guy. I mean, seems fine. I mean, he's now with TSN. He covers the league at whole.
But he's on an island throughout the entire reporting on this. Nowhere else have I seen that it wasn't targeting his head.
Right. Like, I mean, I guess he's actually proven to be correct on this, though, because he's not being reviewed for Rule 48. It's a technicality. But anyway, Saravalli last night was saying it's not an illegal check to the head.
Right. I mean, I said this all along. It's obviously Rule 32B.
I mean, but the bottom line is Tom Wilson's going away for five or more games. That's clear from the fact that they're having a meeting, a hearing in general. So that's good. But how does this affect the rest of the season? Caps, Bruins, four more times in April. Because of the weird schedule this year, they're all confined to their own divisions, of course. So they play them four more times. These are going to be must-watch games.
With fans the next time.
I hope so. I mean, I hope so. And speaking of that front, my man Fauci on MSNBC this morning.
All right.
Says new guidelines from
the... Do you have a Fauci alarm clock?
Yes. Every time he's on anywhere. It's like a Nest alarm, you know, like one of those things that's a Fauci alarm. He says, guidelines are coming from the CDC very soon, within days, on what fully vaccinated people can do.
What?
Well, he controls what you can do. And by the way, Chris Curtis getting vaccinated today.
4:15. Look out.
Look out, world.
I'm going to come in Monday and sound like Wiggy.
You're gonna sound great. Nothing to worry about.
But
it's a great day for you. This should be like this. This is like the day for you.
I mean, I'm happy. I got. I'm. You know. I'm.
Should be
thrilled.
Busting right now.
I'm. Oh,
and your
man.
Wife's a teacher. She's gonna get vaccinated within the next month.
Yes.
And Fauci's gonna tell you what you can do within the next couple days.
What? Where are we? Are we in like St. Petersburg,
it's
Russia?
War time. Damn it! It's a pandemic.
You're fine with this guy telling you. And I thought you hated the CDC.
Well, they've restored their credibility now. They're trying to.
But is it different people running it?
Yes. Rachel Walensky is the new head of the CDC.
Oh, good. Okay.
I know you've stopped watching politics now that your side lost. So
I'm just trying to be happy, Ken.
I don't know why. I don't know why I even went down this road, because the only
why would you ever look to any of these people to tell you how to live? They've been wrong on everything.
All right, I'm going to stop talking politics because Fauci said
don't wear masks.
We've actually gotten good feedback on the show today, by the way, which is very bizarre for you and I to get praise for anything. So well, we must have been doing something right today.
It'll stop at noon when Volin comes in.
Before we get Volin, let's get Mike in Framingham on the Wilson hit. Hi, Mike.
How you doing? I hear that if the guy ends up in the hospital, got hit, it should be a more severe penalty. I think that part's irrelevant because I don't know much about hockey, but like in football, if you do a clean hit and the guy ends up in the hospital, you don't get penalized for that. And if you do a dirty hit, it shouldn't matter if the guy gets up or he ends up in the hospital. A dirty hit's a dirty hit.
Right. Totally right. I mean, that's been bizarre for decades in the NHL. Why they determine not only penalty time, but also suspension time based on whether the injury happened or not.
I feel like the NHL is so behind on so many different things for
reason. In some ways, it's charming, but and they led SportsCenter this morning. By the way, this is the only thing that gets them on national attention. So why would they quit it? I mean,
this is the same league who spends a year promoting a game on Lake Tahoe and they don't realize it's sunny.
And then they got pushed back, which we cared. By the way, God, was Bradford pissed that we preempted live BP that day?
Oh my God!
For the hockey,
it's got a lot of momentum. So hang on.
Which he's not wrong about. It was not our decision.
It was not.
The previous regime had booked the hockey game.
Yep. We were just fulfilling a prior commitment.
What is our fault is Ben Volin. But Volin took off like a rocket this week. We had him on Saturday. To his credit, he had good scoop on Cam Newton. Then he came back on our show Monday. Then he was on television that night. National headlines for Volin for what he says on this show. The Ben Volin Football Hour has become big.
Yes. Huge. Epic.
Set the dialogue for Monday based on what Ben says. He wants to talk about this Ravens rule proposal, which is kind of interesting. I'll give him that.
Yeah, maybe do that like at 11 or 12:58.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Do we let Ben determine with the content on his own show?
No.
I agree. So we are going to start with Volin telling us what really is going on in Foxborough. What's going to happen and when? The answers from Volin next.